I remember, it's been a while now, when Kim and I had four kids living at home, and I came up with this idea of a chore chart, and there were different things on the chore chart. There were some things that were always the same for each kid each week, but some things kind of rotated, and I think at some point they understood, at least my intention wasn't just to get stuff done around the house, because I don't like dust bunnies and all that, but it was to help them. You know, it was to help them in their participation, to bring something of value, you know, that they would get an opportunity to have responsibility and to take some pride and ownership of things in the family and in their life. And it was for their good, you know, it was for their good. As Brad mentioned about God's will and what brings him glory, you know, being for our good. And I was thinking about this morning, you know, God, he really works in our life that same way that, you know, the Bible says that we are his workmanship created for good works, not because he needs to get some stuff done, but he's actually working through us for our good and for his glory. And sometimes we, at least I do, I look at that to-do list in my life, even pastoral to-do list or ministerial to-do list, and it's easy to get caught up in my flesh and think some wrong thoughts about that. Like God needs something done, you know, he doesn't, I mean, he could do it. He doesn't need me for anything. But he invites us to be part of what he's doing, him working through us to join in family activity and to do things. And so the Bible says in Ephesians, we're going to see this in a moment, that God says that he's created good works for us to walk in. You know, it's a picture of like our lives are to be immersed in good works and walking, you know, in our speech and in what we're, you know, in our attitudes and our actions and everything, that for good. You know, before Christ redeemed us, I don't know about you guys, but I walked in sin. that was the street I was walking on. He's got a different street, a good street for us, a street of his Spirit doing a work in us and that expressing itself, all responding by doing the good things that he's prepared as a response to what he's doing inside of us. Does anybody, I'll ask kind of a strange question I've never asked before. We'll see if you guys know this. Does anybody here have a BHAG? Does anybody have a BHAG? Yeah, a BHAG. You don't need to see a doctor if you have one. It's okay. A BHAG is a big, holy, audacious goal. A big, holy, audacious goal. And as I've prayed and thought about the upcoming year with His Hope, and as God has put certain burdens on my heart and given some vision and things, He's helped me with a BHAG, at least in the near future, goal, which is that, you know, I'm so grateful. He has provided, for a little congregation, He's provided so many ways for him to work through us and work in us, you know, and it's just, and I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for every opportunity he gives me, and sometimes I'm really stingy because I take a lot of opportunities from you guys and I just do stuff that I should let you do, but I'm selfish that way. But the BHAG that he's given me for the upcoming year is to provide opportunities for all of the sons and daughters to express, to respond to what he's doing inside of them outwardly, by them getting to be involved and to do good work in the body of Christ. And so I think that's where he's taken us today in Ephesians chapter 2. If you turn in your Bibles, please. And I've titled the message, Saints in the Hands of a Joyful God, a bit of a play on words from an old famous sermon. But my thought there is that, you know, we are in God's hands. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. And he is joyful about that. He's happy about that. And he wants us to share in that joy. He wants us to share in what he's doing and to be able to respond to his joy and to respond to the work that he's doing in us. So Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to start in verse 8 and just look at a few verses here. And then we're also going to look at Acts chapter 9 this morning, if you'd like to go ahead and look that up as well. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 8, the Bible says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. I am so glad it's by grace. I am so glad it's by the grace of God. It's by the grace of God that he saved you and that he saved me. It's by the grace of God that he holds us fast in our Christian walk, and he isn't going to lose us. It's by his grace that we get the opportunity to trust him for big things and to respond to what he's doing in us, in our lives. It's his workmanship in us. And he tells us that he has provided good works for us to walk in. That tells me that God has gone before our present circumstances, and he's looking at later today, he's looking at next week. He's already there. He already sees it next year. And that he has good things. We should be expectant and looking for that, looking for the presence of God and the work of God and his will and his moving. He provides us so many opportunities to be his hands and feet, so many opportunities to walk out these good works. And so I know sometimes, though, my flesh gets in the way of that in several ways. One, sometimes I just make myself busy with stupid stuff, you know, funny cat videos on YouTube, or, you know, I don't know. I don't, maybe whatever it is for you, you know, maybe it's Facebook, or, you know, maybe those can be good things. I'm not, you know, maybe it's an obsession with gardening programs, but whatever, you know, sometimes we don't let ourselves be available sometimes to really respond to what God wants us to see and to be part of. And so we need to be aware of that. Sometimes we think, you know, I can do that, but maybe that's kind of beneath me. And I've learned that, you know, there's nothing that God gives us an opportunity to or calls us to that's beneath us. Sometimes we think, and I know we don't say this because it's not Christian or Christ-like, but sometimes, you know, people can be tempted to think somebody else needs to do that because I can do this really awesome thing, so I'm going to pass on that, you know. And there is no little task when it glorifies God. There's no thing that's too small when it's for him. When we do it as unto the Lord, it's beautiful and it's a privilege to do whatever it is. You know, whether it's handing out a bulletin or helping with coffee or whatever it may be, helping a neighbor with their weeds, pulling, if you're doing it for Jesus, it's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's a great privilege. And so we need to have that understanding. But sometimes we are seeing an opportunity comes up, and we think, you know, that's scary. For me to serve Jesus in that way, you know, maybe it's knocking on doors and asking people, how can we pray for you? That's one of the go-forths we did before. I think a couple times we just knocked on doors in the neighborhood. Hey, we're from the local church down here, the new church plant, and we would love to pray for you. How can we pray for you? It was so beautiful. I mean, Jesus had divine appointment after divine appointment ready for us. Had people who literally say, I'm so glad you're here. I'm your appointment. I needed somebody to come and pray about this today. And Jesus sent you. Thank you so much. People literally saying that. And sometimes we just think, you know, I'm not bold enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not adequate. I can't do that. But I want to tell you today that it is not about your ability or my ability. It's about our responding to God's ability. That should be in your bulletin, but it's not. So you may write that down. But it is not about your ability. How qualified or unqualified you are to do anything God calls you to do, it's about responding to God's ability in faith and in obedience, sometimes in repentance. But it's about responding to God, responding to his ability. So I want us to see an example here today in Acts chapter 9 of what God can do in our insufficiency, in our unworthiness, and he can do wondrous things. Acts chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 1 and look at a man named Saul. So if you are familiar with this, you know that Saul was definitely an unlikely candidate for missionary work. This is a guy who hated the gospel, who was on a mission to crush followers of Jesus, to see them imprisoned, to see them killed. And if there's anybody who, humanly speaking, you would think this is the last person in the world who should have any opportunity to ever serve Jesus. And yet this is exactly who Jesus laid hold of to do wondrous things for his glory. So starting here in verse number 1, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters for the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found anyone belonging to the way, this is the followers of Jesus, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus. And suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, Who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And for 3 days he went without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Here I am, Lord. And the Lord said to him, Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying. And he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him, that he might regain his sight. But Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard from many people about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine, to carry my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. Saul is an unlikely choice to serve the Lord. And so are you. So am I. All of us are. All of us are. It is by grace that you have been saved. It is by grace that he has adopted you. It is by grace that he works in you. It is by grace that he makes himself known to you. It's by grace that he calls us to make him known and to serve him. It's about God's ability and responding to that. It's not about our ability. So this morning I want us to deal with maybe a few doubts that we have when the Lord calls us to serve and gives us an opportunity to respond to his ability in our life. First of all, your baggage is not a barrier to you serving Christ. Your baggage is not a barrier to you serving Christ. And we're talking about past baggages. We're talking about things that you've maybe had to repent of or confess, but also the wounds and the things done to you. That no matter where you have come from, no matter what's been done to you or what you have done, if you are walking with Christ, if you have received his forgiveness and his grace, if you are new in Christ Jesus, your baggage is not a barrier to you serving Christ, because Jesus is greater than your past. He's greater than the mistakes you've made. He's greater than those regrets that you have. Again, verse 1 says, but Saul, still breathing out threats and murder against the disciples, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. And then in verse 13 and 14, but Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call upon your name. You know, there's a few records of your past. There's the record that you carry with you in your memory of those things that you've done, and there's that knowledge, maybe people who knew you before you were a Christian, that they remember back in the day when you were running the streets and making stupid choices. Or there's also that arsenal that Satan has, because he loves to bring up your past. He loves to bring that up and say, you can't serve God in that way. Don't you remember what you did back in 1983? Don't you remember what you did last week? And Jesus is greater than those objections. Because it's not our worthiness that makes him give us opportunities. It's grace. And it's acknowledgement of his ability, and it's trusting him. Saul was guilty of murdering Christians. Saul was guilty of persecuting believers and doing everything in his power to crush the early church. That was his past. That was his baggage that he brought into the church. In Acts 22, he said, I persecuted the way to death. I delivered men and women to prison to see them put to death. In Acts 26, he said, I was convinced that I needed to do everything I could to oppose the gospel, to oppose Jesus. He was a wicked man. He was a wicked man who had many regrets and had done terrible things. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said, here's a trustworthy saying, deserving of full acceptance, Jesus Christ came to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He said, I am the foremost. He said, listen, I know who I was. I know what I've done. And I have been the worst of the worst. But then in verse 16 he says, I receive mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost of sinners, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who believe in him for eternal life. Paul said, listen, I know who I've been. And I've got my baggage. I've got my past. But Jesus is so great that that doesn't matter. Jesus actually allowed my past so that he could take the chief of sinners and make him the greatest missionary the world had seen. As an example to us, so that we can look at our lives and when Satan reminds you, when he tries to condemn you and accuse you because of things in your past, you can say, Satan, first of all, you're right about me. That is who I was. But Jesus, I've been redeemed. I've been forgiven. That's been washed away. And you can't throw that back at me. That guilt and that shame, I am a child of God, and he is the one working in me. I am his workmanship. So no matter what the enemy says, no matter what he brings to remembrance, we are responding to God's worth and his ability as we walk with him and serve him. Jesus is greater than your past. Our past does not prevent us from being used by God. It is not a barrier. He's bigger than that. It is not an obstacle. God tells us in Psalm 103 that as far as the east is from the west, he has removed all of your sin, past, present, and future. It's all removed. If you are walking with him, your transgressions are remembered by him no more. Throughout the Bible, again and again, God gives us these illustrations of people who are epic failures, who've done terrible things in their life, and God lays his hand upon them and gives them a new beginning and a new start and gives them opportunities to walk that out and to know him. And he took this man Saul, who was a great persecutor, and he made him the greatest of missionaries, because he trusted in not in himself, but in Jesus. Your baggage is not a barrier to you placing yourself in the hands of Jesus and saying yes, not only to little opportunities, but to big opportunities that he gives you to serve him. Because it's not in your strength, it's in him. It's about his ability, and you're responding to that in faith. A second thing for us to recognize today, your present circumstances are also, they're not preventing you from serving Christ. Your present circumstances aren't preventing you from serving Christ. Now, I should throw a disclaimer in that there are things that we can do that exclude us from serving him in certain ways. But Jesus has opportunities for every single believer, his word says, for us to walk in good works that he has prepared for us. Look again at Saul. Saul's on his way to Damascus to do what? Persecute. To persecute. That's his circumstances. I mean, we've got the story beyond that, but at that point, he doesn't. He's thinking, man, this Jesus was this terrible blasphemer, his followers, I've got to crush this. This has got to be, that's his present circumstances. And God said, you know what? I'm bigger than that. I can lay hold of you right there and call you to follow me and to serve me and to know me. Whatever is going on in your life, if you are willing to turn to Christ in faith and in obedience, in alignment with His Word, and let Him guide you in your life, He will provide opportunities. And no matter what your circumstances are, it may not be serving Him in the way that you think that you would like to serve Him yet. You know, He may give some things that are going to equip you for something later, perhaps. Or little opportunities to maybe grow your trust in Him first. But He's going to give you opportunities in the present, no matter where you are, no matter who you are, to trust Him and to obey Him and to walk in the good works that He has for us. You know, as Saul was met there on Damascus Road, he was struck blind, the Word of God says. And yet even that wasn't a hindrance to the Lord. God said, that's not a problem. That's his present circumstances. This is a guy who has just had a heart full of hate and a mind full of lies, and now he's blind, and Jesus says, and I'm going to use that guy. I'm going to use that guy. And he can do that for me and you, no matter what your circumstances are. God restored his sight and made himself known to Paul and his grace known to Paul. And then he set him on this course of just saying yes to Jesus. Whatever the opportunity was. I don't know. You know, maybe when he first got his sight back and they started having some fellowship meals and he's learning more about the gospel, maybe they needed somebody to do the dishes. And Paul said, right here, I'll do that for Jesus. You bet. If it's for Jesus, not a problem. The answer is yes. You know, maybe they a week or two later, he got his strength back and they said, hey man, we need to go out and pray for some folks, maybe get an opportunity to tell them about Jesus. And no matter what Paul's present circumstances, he's like, yeah, there's an opportunity to serve Jesus. And he's worthy. He is worthy. My answer is yes. I'll do it for Jesus. Again, Ephesians 2 there in verse 10, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. It is him who's working in us. It's him working in us. We are his work. We're just walking out what he's doing when we say yes to him. And he's not waiting for you to be perfect to call you. He's not waiting for you to be. He's going to perfect us in eternity. Praise God. I am so looking forward to the penalty's been paid. But there's a time coming when the very presence of sin within us and without us is going to be eradicated from our reality. Isn't that wonderful? But he's not waiting for that day to call you. He's not waiting for that day to say, I've got something to do through you. Let's get right now in your imperfection that you would know my joy, that you would know my faithfulness, that you would know my goodness. And all you got to do is say, here I am, Lord. I'll do it. Because you want me to. I think of Moses and God's calling on Moses. I mean, do you guys know about how old Moses was when he got called there to go back and talk to Pharaoh and call him out? And at that, well, the point when he went back, he's about 80 with the burning bush, I think. Around, yeah. Senior saints, I'm going to step on your toes a little bit. If God can use Moses in that way at 80, he can use you. Your age is not an obstacle. Your circumstances are not getting in the way. He knows what he's doing. He knows who you are. We're just responding to his worth and his ability and his call. It's not about us. You know, Moses, he had all kinds of objections. Didn't matter. And God knew all that when he called him. He knows everything about you. And he just says, trust me. If he's guiding you, if he's giving you an opportunity to serve him in some way, he's going to provide everything you need. Everything. Everything. You know, I really believe that, and I've seen this in my own life, that unless we will say yes sometimes to things that just, you know, there's times God's called me, you know, I think of like street witnessing. And I remember when I first, some of the early tribe of Christians that I was around, a lot of the young people I was around, really loved to go out and street witness. And these were guys who were just like steeped in church life. So they were kind of eased into that. I was brand new. I mean, I'd just been like walking with the world and I had no clue what that was. And it terrified me. And I was scared to death. I'm like, no. But God convicted me and he said, you know what? If you want me to show up in a powerful way, you need to do something that you need me to show up for. If you're just going to play it safe, why would I show up in a way that's going to shock you and surprise you? But when I said yes, when God called me to things and gave opportunities for me to serve him, and I knew, like, okay, God, I'm going to say yes, but if you don't show up, I'm really going to look stupid. And he's faithful. He's faithful, and he's good, and he does. He does show up. It is not about your ability. It is about responding to who God is. And if he's the one who called you, he is faithful, and he'll provide for you. He'll provide. A third thing to recognize today, your imperfection is not an impediment to serving Christ. Your imperfection, your insufficiency is not an impediment to you serving Christ. And we're not talking about sin. If there's sin you need to repent, that's getting in the way. That gets in the way of every good thing, right? I'll give you a quick sermon within a sermon. Sin is bad, don't do it. There it is. You know. You can't be holding Jesus' hand and holding Satan's hand at the same time. So out of his goodness, repent. He calls us to repent. But if you've repented, if you are turned toward the Lord and you're walking with him, he calls us to be blameless. He calls us to be blameless, but he knows who we are. He knows we're not perfect yet. And yet he calls us to know him and to make him known. For we are his workmanship. We are his workmanship. Even when we don't feel like it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works which God prepared beforehand. We should walk in them. Even as an apostle, Paul wasn't perfect. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, there were people who were trying to be a stumbling block. They were being very fault-finding with Paul. And they said, yeah, you should listen to us and not Paul. He's really not very impressive. He's not a very good public speaker. He's not all that. But Paul didn't trust in himself. Paul knew he wasn't perfect. Paul trusted in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord. In chapter 11, verse 6 of 2 Corinthians, Paul said, I am not a skilled speaker. He said, I'm not a skilled speaker, but he said, I know what I'm talking about here, what I'm teaching you. I'm telling you what Christ has told me. I'm giving you the word of God. He didn't say, listen to me because I'm perfect. He wasn't. You know, Spurgeon, the prince of preachers, hundreds of thousands of people come into Christ through his ministry, but Spurgeon said, I did absolutely nothing. The word of God did everything. He just trusted the Lord. He took the Lord at his word. He trusted and obeyed. In Galatians 4, it talks about Paul having some kind of physical infirmity, maybe with his eyesight or something, and even that, it wasn't a hindrance to him, even though he had ailments. You know, there's times we use that as a reason to hold Jesus at arm's length. Well, I'd say yes to that, Lord, but my bursitis is acting up. I'd do that today. Not today, Lord. Maybe when the gout goes away, then I can do that. God knows that we have our hurts. He knows we have hang-ups. It's okay. He can still use you. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10, "For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses." I'm content with weaknesses. Yes, I boast. So I'm content in the hardships and the persecutions and the calamities and all these things that are going on in me and around me. Said, I'm fine with that because when I'm weak, Jesus is strong in me. And he understood, listen, these things that we do in the Christian life, walking it out, it's his presence. We don't have to be all that. We don't have to be strong. We don't have to be perfect. He's only got messy kids. He's only got messy kids. And yet he rejoices in working in us and through us and sharing that joy of knowing him and seeing how faithful he is and how good he is when we say yes to him. It is about him. It's not about your ability. It's not about your ability. It is about responding to the person of Jesus when he gives us an opportunity. And we're all insufficient in ourselves. Praise God, we're not left to ourselves. We have his Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit within us. No matter who you are, God can use you. He can use you, and he gives us opportunities. First and foremost, he gives us opportunities in the body of Christ. He gives us opportunities in the church, and he wants ordinary saints sometimes to do very ordinary things, but to do it for him, to do it because he's giving us the opportunity, to do it because he gets the glory, if we do it worshipfully, whatever we're doing. Try praising him when you do the dishes sometimes, if you hate doing the dishes. I love doing the dishes a lot more now than I used to, because I learned that, you know what, I can do this for Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? You can. You can do it for him. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Whatever's done for his glory. I want to give us an action step. I am so grateful. There's a lot of folks who already are taking advantage to serve in the body of Christ here with Here's Hope, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful every week. I'm thankful Jesus gives me an opportunity I don't deserve to serve here. But I want to give an action step for next week. So there's always stuff to do before our worship services. And if you are able to come at 9 o'clock next week, and if you're able to come here for Jesus, whether that's, I would love to see a few of us huddle up before and have a prayer session, if you're willing to come and pray. If you're willing to come and help with coffee and donuts, if, you know, whatever it is. Full bulletins, maybe you've got an idea of something you've seen that somebody ought to do. You know what that is when God gives you that? You know, like, hey, somebody should be doing that. It's probably you. It's probably you. One of my friends likes to say, autos are non-transferable. He's a pastor. And a lot of times people come to him and say, hey, somebody ought to do that. So autos are non-transferable. Jesus gave that to you. Your autos are not transferable. So maybe there's something already that God's put in your heart. Man, I'd love to come and help with that. Come. Come at 9 o'clock next week. And we'll be intentional. Anybody who shows up for that, we'll be intentional to take time before we do anything to dedicate it to Christ, that he would work in us and through us with whatever that is, anything for him. And he delights in that. He rejoices in that, and he shares that joy with us. So I think it just puts a smile on Jesus' face when his kids play nice together and trust him together for things, even little things. I think it makes him happy. So I'm going to pray for us, and worship team, you can come on back up. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that it's so clear in your word that you are dependable and faithful. And Lord, as your sons and daughters, we know that's great news because we're really dependent upon you. And that's wonderful. Lord, thank you that you know us. Everything. You know our baggage that we used to carry. You know the struggles we have in the present, as well as the victories, God, and you know what's next. And Lord, you know our tendency to self-doubt and to come up with justifications to say no to you and just to believe things that aren't true, God. And Lord, help us to believe and to know the truth that you are bigger than any objections we have. That if you, by your grace, are inviting us to know you in the little things or the big things, whatever it is that we do in faith, that you meet us there with grace. And you provide all that we need, Lord, for us to see you and to savor you and treasure you and worship you as we walk out those good things that you have for us, God. Thank you that you love us so much, that you provide that. Thank you, Lord, that even as we are children of God, sons and daughters in this world, Lord, that we belong to you and that right here on earth, you've given us your Holy Spirit. You've given us your word. You've given us brothers and sisters, your people. You've given us a mission. And you've given us opportunity, Lord, just to have a life that acknowledges God, a life that says, Lord, I'll say yes to you even in the little things. Thank you, Lord, that in everything you are conforming us to the image of your Son. That you're giving us opportunities in small ways to be faithful, to be more like the one who was always faithful. That you're giving us opportunities, Lord, to be available, to be your hands and feet, like your Son who's always been available to you, God, who's always walked perfectly in your will. Thank you, Lord, that you're giving us opportunities every day to trust you. To trust you, Lord. To read your word and to see you there and to know that you are a God who loves us and is rejoicing over us and that you're the one who's giving us a desire to walk in those good works. You're the one giving us a desire. You're the one who's prepared everything. You're the one who even gives us the faith to say yes. That's how good you are, God. Thank you. Thank you, God, that you are for us. And that which brings you glory in our lives is for our good. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.